265, a podcaster, content creator's dream, quarterback controversy, not a fan's dream by any means. We'd love to just have a solid QB, him playing great, but nonetheless, Alex Padilla came into the game. We're going to talk all about it. Should he be there? How did he play? Who's the guy going forward? And we talk about a bunch of other stuff as well. This is a good podcast. Let's sit back, relax, and have a day.
Welcome back, Washington Walk-Ons fans. Excuse me. Episode 265 of the podcast. And a happy podcast again, I presume. I'm going to admit to you guys right now that I saw very little of the game. And I have my own personal reasons for that. One, because I had better things to do than sit on the couch and watch two reasonably bad football teams play each other. But that's neither here nor there. I'm going to sit back for most of this podcast, shut my dumbass up, and listen to the two better halves of this podcast talk to each other. Guys, indulge.
Technically the majority, because I hold the 34%. Well, it wouldn't matter anyway if it was you two with two against one. And yeah, this is the barbershop podcast. We're all looking slightly, I mean, Drake looks the same, and we get comments on the mullet all the time.
Dude, I'll tell you what, the three looks that are sitting in this chat room right now are fantastic. I think they're a little bit nostalgic in a way, and I find them hilarious. I love the three look of the three Stooges.
We're the Stooges for sure. The walk-ons are happier this week, a little bit. Drake's not as sad. The offense is still...
All I know is that it was a 17-12 game against Northwestern. So, like, yeah, is that how good did we really play, man?
Not good.
Not great.
Not good. Not good. But guess what? Somehow
we're 7-2. If not great is a very, very big improvement from absolutely pitiful. So, dude, next week, if we're decent, and then the week after that, we're... Hey, these guys are putting something together. Imagine that. Imagine if 2 weeks were, these guys are putting something together.
If in 2 weeks we can sit back and say, there's something going here, then I would say we pretty, man, it's so weird because we've got three games left on the schedule. Next week, this is Kevin's favorite week. Okay, because Kevin, what's on the line?
Oink, oink, motherfucker.
Bacon, you bitches.
Oink, oink. It's a big week. It's a trophy week. There's two trophy games left. One of those is against a team that just scored 6 points against Illinois. Okay. Drake, did you know that happened?
I knew that Illinois blew them out or
no.
Effectively.
I mean, 14-6, Illinois over Minnesota.
It wasn't it 14-0 early?
Yeah, and then they didn't.
Oh, dude, see, that's where I turned out. It was 14-0 early. I heard the Minnesota scored 6 points, and I was just like, oh, it was a blowout.
Kev, did you watch any of that game?
I watched a good deal of that game.
And what happened?
Well, given the score, 14-6, not a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the box score here. So, oh my God, are you kidding
Underrated
me?
Joke.
Illinois passed the ball 9 times.
Yeah, no, they can't throw the ball. They did the same thing versus Penn State. They, I think, had more passing attempts than they had passing yards or something like that. It was, and they just ran the ball like 60 times that game. But, yeah, so Illinois got a few drives and managed to punch it in the end zone a couple times, and Minnesota couldn't do anything. Like they are really hurting in the running back room. They have
four string, right?
Yeah, they're hurting, and they don't have a very good passing game. Tanner Morgan's been there for 8 years, and he still can't throw the
Grandpa
ball.
Grandpa Morgan, huh? Just the shoulders.
Dude,
getting...
he looks older than you do, Kluver, and that is saying something.
What do I look right now? Am I rocking 35?
You look aged. You look weathered. You look like you should have some wisdom.
Kluver, you can tell me you're anywhere from 25 to 45.
Don't say 45, dude.
No, you can say
Kluver, have you looked in a mirror lately?
I believe you.
There's no way. Look at I get it.
Kluver, shut up right now. Shut up right now. Kluver, if you were 12 and looked at yourself right now, you would be like, holy shit, I got old. I got to be 39.
Dude, fuck you guys.
I'm not saying it looks bad. I think it looks really good, actually. I'm just saying.
I don't know about
it. If you were an actor in Hollywood, your cast age would be 25 to 40.
Okay, I'll take 40. And that's only from the face, dude. Because if you get a body shot on me, I look just as good as you guys. All right?
Well, hey, you can be jacked into your 50s, man.
And I plan on it. And I fucking plan on it, okay? I'm going to be that guy who...
Five more.
No, we're up at like 40 already, this podcast. I got a haircut. I'm effectively bald. Kevin is rocking the Farva look. And have you applied to be a state trooper yet, or?
You know, I haven't, but I don't think I even need to apply. I think I just walk in with this mustache and they'd be like, oh yeah, sure. Here's a gun. Here's your car. Go, go
do
go
whatever.
Trooping. Go get trooping. The bad guys.
Those start trooping, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
troop the state, bro.
Happy trooping. I'm looking at this box score, Minnesota, Illinois. Who are two of the three opponents we have left. We'll get to the Northwestern game. I promise. There was a QB change. Kevin and I at the same time were texting, which is rare that we text during a game. And as we're texting, it happens. We both sent to each other, oh boy, here we go. But these two teams that we have left to play, Peters was 7 of 9 for 80 yards and a touchdown. And they're starting running back C. Brown, 32 carries for 147 yards. That's it. That's all Illinois did. Minnesota somehow scores 6 points on 15 of 27 passing. Their running back had 16 carries for 60 yards, which isn't god awful, but
that's yeah. I mean, so I think people were hyping up Minnesota's offensive line kind of
yes,
not last year, 2 years ago, and before this season, when really it was all Ibrahim doing the work. That guy is an absolute stud. He's the real deal.
He's a stallion.
They would be a completely different team with him. I think it's kind of showing now that Minnesota's offensive line isn't as good as it was made out to be. They got some big dudes, but I don't really think they move very well. Now, I guess we can't really talk, but...
their center's good, by the way. Their center is good. They're very similar to us, actually. Center is the best part of their line, and then it gets significantly less quality.
Yeah, their defense is not in the same league as ours, though.
No, and I haven't seen them play all year, but the fact that they lost 14-6 Illinois, they've had weird games like losing to Bowling Green, but yet blowing out Colorado. They just have they may have played the weirdest schedule all year. Played great, and granted, it was with Ibrahim.
Yeah, and then they beat Purdue, and yeah.
Yeah, they beat Purdue 20-13, which let's talk about
Purdue. When Purdue is on their game, is like
dangerous.
Probably the second or third best team in the Big Ten.
If David Bell decides he's going to have a
second
game,
or third best, I mean, who else they gotta beat?
I mean, they're playing Ohio State this weekend coming up, so we'll find out.
And I'm excited.
That's true.
About
That's
it.
So unfair, though. They got to go through the absolute grinder.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think they have a legitimate – I haven't seen what the line opened up at, but – and I'm not sure if they're home or away, but I think they'll match up pretty well against Ohio State if they're on their game.
I agree. I'm excited to watch that happen. Let me scroll back down here and find – Purdue will be playing at Ohio State. That makes it tougher to go to the Shoe and win, but it wasn't but 18 that they beat Ohio State. It was at Purdue, I believe, but they knocked off Ohio State, top five win.
It wasn't, but 12 days ago that they beat us in fucking Kinnick. $5 more to the children. Cha-ching.
They have two top five wins this year at the time, and their offense is dangerous, especially when their quarterbacks are slinging it. And it's a weird multiple quarterback system that is unorthodox, but it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And David Bell is better than probably anybody that you have on defense. That's just the way it is. And that guy is going to make all of the money in the NFL. But unfortunately, he's not there yet. And so what's the face for?
Ohio State minus 20.
Wow. Somebody get on that right now. If it's Monday morning and you're listening to this, put the
heaven. Can I Venmo you right now?
Put the house on it, boys and girls. They think
interesting.
That's
it's interesting. I think Purdue.
Can I Venmo you right now, Kevin? Is that a yes? No. Can I Venmo you, Kluver? Can I put a bet in somewhere? Can a guy get a bet in?
Yeah, allegedly.
But no, if you get the Purdue you got last week and you get the Purdue that you got versus the Hawks where their passing game is just perfect. You know, they're just making all the throws, making all the catches. I think Ohio State's secondary can be vulnerable to that.
I agree.
Well, are they going to give up some points? I think so, yeah. But three touchdowns? Are you kidding me? I mean, you could probably already go ahead and call that one my awards winners for next week.
Yeah.
That's my pick. I locked that one in too because I'm trying to get somebody to put that in for me.
We might just make that an outstanding pick of the pod, and then everybody else has their own three. Like, this is the walk-on's pick of the week.
And that means it's guaranteed to lose.
And then we will definitely lose. Purdue will lose by 40. Interesting that they beat Michigan State after, you know, Michigan State, similar thing, right? They have this big hyped up game against, I mean, they just suffered the exact same fate that Iowa did, right? Top five win, top 10 ranked game. I think actually, Michigan was sixth or something, seventh. And all of that, they come down from that. They play Purdue and Purdue says, sorry, we'll take this one. And what does that do for the Big Ten, right? Not great. I mean, assuming that Michigan State was, you know, the obviously the last one to be able to run the table, but I think a one loss still gets in. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, one loss gets in, which means it's going to have to be Michigan State or Ohio State, which is the same as it was before. Which
right.
They play each other in 2 weeks. Ohio State's got a rough schedule down the stretch. They just came off a tough game with Nebraska. They got Purdue that's apparently getting no respect. They were getting a ton of respect. They're only 3-point dogs versus Michigan State. And turn around, beat them, and now they're 20-point dogs versus Ohio State.
No.
I don't see it personally, but
here's something.
You know, Ohio State was 14-point favorites versus Nebraska. How are you going to tell me that Purdue needs more points than Nebraska?
That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
And
but
Purdue
then, so, yeah, Ohio State's got Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, Big Ten Championship. They got a tough 4 weeks ahead of them.
Kev, I watched an Air Force Army game of which the second half was electric. It was
that was a cool game, dude. Honestly. I enjoyed watching it.
The first half was trash, and I didn't watch any of that because I was actually not home. I get home and you know, as we know, we're gonna go into the quick recap here. Your boy had the Air Force Army over 37.
I text Kluve at halftime. It's like off to a great start. 0-0, baby.
We also gave that pick out to a few of the boys. They had that, and they were not happy with the 0-0 halftime score. I say, okay, cool. At least I know my parlay is done, and I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. Then I get home. I check the scoreboard. We got 4 minutes left in the third quarter and it's 14-3. Air Force is driving, baby. And from that point on, it was a wild game all the way through overtime to where Air Force eventually couldn't get it done. If they score, they would have tied the ball game. The over would have hit and all the over would have hit. And then all we would have needed was Air Force to like make a stop or just somehow swing the tide their way and win, and we would hit both bets. But nonetheless, that one hurt.
We go 0-2 in the Commanders and Chiefs game.
Now, Wisconsin, they helped me out. They decided to absolutely curb stomp Rutgers. Minus 13 line, they won by 50, almost. Michigan State, we just talked about that. I had them minus 3. Evidently, I'm a dumbass. But Kevin does hit on that one, over 52. And Kevin goes 2-1 because Baylor lost. Or no, 1-2. 1-2 for both of us because the Fighting Dylan Doyles couldn't get it done against TCU.
Dude, their secondary got absolutely torched by TCU. They gave up like 500 yards through the air.
And this is why sports betting is hard. Now, yeah. Now Drake, Cincinnati, decided to get trashed by Cleveland. Baker Mayfield showed up to the game today. Arizona, I believe, is going to cover that by a sizable margin. And the Chargers were up the last time I saw. Yes.
So I got a final for you, 27-24. Chargers, Drake yep. covers that, I believe.
Yep, minus 1.5.
And the 49ers are down by 14.
What I mean, with what kind of roller coaster is Cincinnati on? They're like, they were playing so good. They're like 5-2, blowing people out of the stadium. And now they're just going
to give 40 to the Jets and get blown out by the.
Dude, they literally were sprinting down the track, and then a gigantic bird took a shit in their face, and they fell down.
Yeah, someone sniped them from the back. They're the Minnesota of the NFL. They can't decide what they want to do. Hey, you know what it is? So, you know, that's that. Betting, not so great week, 4-5. But not as bad as a week we've had. Interesting, the AP poll came out. I don't think the AP poll actually looks at things because they have Iowa ahead of Wisconsin.
That just don't make sense.
Iowa is 19th in the AP poll and Wisconsin is 20th. And evidently they forgot about last week. And
dude, that just shows you how little they pay attention, man. People take these guys' word like it means something.
Yeah.
It is a bunch of Cheeto fingers that get paid to do nothing, dude. Did they not watch the game? The game happened.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how much people put, like how much people truly buy in with their soul to rankings. They see, and it's, you know, Iowa has suffered a little bit of that this year. We got that number 2 by our name, and people started thinking, oh, shit, we want Bama. Turns out, rankings are a man-made system. It's not a, it's not real. It's Fugazi.
Right? Can you imagine us trying to run the ball on Georgia?
Oh, we'd be screwed. Dude, Georgia would beat us 50-0. And we wouldn't get over 100 yards of offense.
Georgia is not only like curb stomping people, they're curb stomping people and covering massive spreads.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. I think they're like 7-2 against the spread this year.
Yeah, they're insane. So there's all that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Northwestern Iowa game. There were some things that happened. It wasn't exciting, but we'll get into it.
Yo, what a fucking way to introduce the way that we're going to talk about this game.
What?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it. Not really much happened, but well, we'll get into it.
Well, hey, guess what? We brought the rant. We went to the fridge. We searched the condiment.
I mean, that's something, man. We switched quarterbacks, and what happened? Like, what happened?
Some will tell you that Padilla is the answer, solely the answer. I will tell you that it was a great game for him to come in, especially with Petras, who is hurt.
Yeah, that's what they're kind of speculating, that Petras has been a little bit banged up. I mean, his first two series, he puts like 3 balls in the dirt, not even close to receiver's feet. And it's like, so I wonder if they're like, their game plan going into the game was like, you know, see if he's got it or not. And
yeah.
Or and Padilla's going in, or if it really was, Padilla, it's your time.
So the speculation, not even the speculation, I think Coach Ferentz talked about it in the host game of Wisconsin. Spencer was hurt. Like he hurt his shoulder in the Wisconsin game. And not that it mattered because we didn't even get it. I mean, we were that bad on offense that we didn't even know how bad he was hurt. Because
this podcast was sitting here saying it's not Spencer's fault. It's not his fault that we got beat by Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you know, everybody has their opinions. There's somebody on every side of this deal. So what's interesting to me, Kev and Drake, is if he's that hurt, I mean, and he looked bad, Drake, when he came out.
Oh yeah, he just could not make the throw.
Some of the Cheeto fingers.
Like, was it the shoulder wouldn't even go? Like he was trying to torso throw it.
Wouldn't even fire.
Like he couldn't get it to a 10-yard out route.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So people will argue with me on this one, but I don't care because it's just factually true. Spencer is markedly better this year, accuracy wise and touch wise, than he was in 2020. It's a fact. Okay. When he's had time to throw to receivers, he's been pretty damn accurate this year. He was not in four attempts. Three of four attempts literally hit the dirt. So it was clear that something was off. Obviously, we weren't in the locker room. We weren't in the facility this past week. But you would think, and I'm not questioning the coaches here because, again, I don't know all the shit. But you would think that with how much he's been questioned, how much the offense has been questioned, especially Purdue-Wisconsin games, and how close it felt like we already were to, hey, screw it, put Padilla in. With an added injury factor into that, I find it interesting that they started him at all.
A little bit. You know, it could just be like he was okay throughout the week, you know, okay in pregame. And
yeah.
Game just comes, maybe something pops in the shoulder a little bit or something, right. You know, something happens. You never know. But if he was throwing like that all week, I would expect Padilla to come out series one.
And it sounded like that might have been the way it was. Coach Ferentz said he wasn't, he was clearly not his full self in practice. And then even in warmups, it was clear he did not have the full function. So I don't think it's irresponsible. I don't think it's Clifford level, you know, James Franklin Clifford level ignorance, but it's, I mean, let's be honest. He's not Bryce Young. Like he wasn't, it's not one of those situations. By the way, a very similar situation is happening in Nebraska. Dude, Adrian Martinez, who I said in the beginning of the year, the way they play football, Martinez hates his life and he's going to get murdered. He's been playing the last 2 weeks with a broken jaw because they don't have a better option, dude. Frost has been sending him out there saying, hey, speak through your teeth, because if we put number two in, we're going to lose these games by even more. And so it's this weird thing of like, well, is a guy willing to tough it out? And I don't know. It just seemed like it was close enough between Padilla and Petras. Hey, throw Padilla out there. Regardless, he comes in and he makes some plays happen. Why is it, in your guys' opinion, that when a backup comes in, there's a spark? There's this weird, you know, like when they make that final, like what is quantifiable about that? In my opinion, I think it's that, okay, we've gone a different direction. There's nothing to lose. Everybody plays a little bit looser, but I don't know. Is that it?
I'm going to just say in general, that's just not factual. I mean, for everyone that comes in, the guy starts throwing around like it's backyard football. There's another guy that is throwing it to the other team, taking sacks he's not supposed to take.
I'm going with Kevin, man. I've seen a lot of backup quarterbacks come in and shit the sheets.
Yeah, and it was sort of. I'm glad
that. But I think especially not knowing he was, you know, I imagine Padilla got some reps with the ones this week.
He did.
I bet he knew there was a good possibility that he was going to have to step in, but. Coming in off the bench after the first couple series, I thought he did his job for the most part. I don't think he was great. I don't think we can anoint him the guy going forward or the guy next year yet. Again, Northwestern's a bad
football. I was just going to say, and why is that, Kevin? Because this was not the Wisconsin defense that we saw last week. No, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want everybody
not even close.
Yeah, man. Before you continue, if you have more thoughts, I want everybody listening right now to go back to the four plays that Spencer had, that Spencer threw, if you can find the replay, and tell me that there wasn't drastically more time on those plays. Cause Kevin texted me, he goes, hey, Petrus isn't even getting the ball to the guys and he's being given time. Right. And that was right before he got pulled. This offensive line gave whatever quarterback was in the game a significant amount of more time this week. And it was because they played Northwestern and not Purdue or Wisconsin. And if you can't, if you just say, nope, it was Padilla, he was the one, it was 100% him, then you're just not smart.
Yeah. The offensive line played better today. Obviously, they're not playing the defensive lines they saw the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But in pass protection, I thought they did an okay job. Padilla had time. He wasn't running for his life. It wasn't like he was dropping back, guy in his face, like we saw like the last couple of weeks. They kind of still struggled in the run game. But still, this is a team. Like Northwestern's got like the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
They have the worst run defense in the league.
Yep.
For us to only be able to put up 17 points was frustrating. We were horrible on third down.
I think 2 of 14.
Oh.
Two of 14.
That's horrible. Yeah. And I was just a sloppy game overall. The defense gave up 12 points, one field goal after a blocked punt.
How pissed were you?
That was like the worst 9 points given up I've ever seen them play.
How pissed were you on the touchdown in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. I mean, the three picks that we got, the guy just threw them to us.
Yeah.
We didn't work for those. Good job, guys, for not dropping them.
The one that Jamari got was a little bit forced by a blitz
ball. Yeah, yeah, under pressure.
Yeah. Northwestern's back.
I just can't point to anything we did particularly well in that game.
Well, you just 17 points. Padilla.
That's another under for the boys.
Under.
Oh, yeah, by a mile.
29 total points. I think it was 40, right, at kickoff. What does Padilla do that is better than Spencer? Let's talk about it.
More mobile.
I see three things, actually, specifically. He is clearly more mobile, right? He made a running a throw on the run to his right that was a dart on the money. Spencer Petras is not going to provide you with that type of play. He's not even going to get outside of the pocket to attempt that throw. And if he does, he's not good throwing on the run. When Padilla was in the pocket, and again, this is very hard to quantify. There were several throws that he made downfield where he's giving our guys a chance more so than Petras, specifically the Keegan Johnson on the sideline. Keegan was not wide open. It was maybe Padilla's third or fourth play. And Padilla threw it up and let Keegan go make a play. And there has been a lack of chances taken. And I don't know if that's just Spencer playing safe. But I am one who, if you have those playmakers, and we've got a couple, Keegan is clearly a playmaker. Arlen Bruce, clearly a playmaker.
I'm excited to see those guys in the years to come.
They're going to be incredible. You have to let your playmakers make plays. And to do that, sometimes you got to make them be the guy. You do your best, make them make the play. And he let Keegan do that. He let Arlen do that on a couple plays. The third thing he does better than Spencer is when he does have time, say they both have time, they both have a pocket, they both have an open throw. And you can correct me if I'm wrong watching him, Kevin. Padilla has a quicker release. He has a quicker release when he's throwing the ball. Not always a good thing. Sometimes that's rushed or sometimes that can cause mechanical issues. You're too sped up.
Are you talking get the ball, get it out of your hand, or his actual throwing motion?
His throwing motion is quicker.
Sure. Yeah, I'd agree.
And again, maybe a insignificant detail in another year where our line gives us 4 seconds instead of two, but every little thing helps when we're looking at this offensive line, especially through the last three games. It's one more thing that allows us to get the ball out a little faster with Alex than it is Spencer. So other than that, very hard for me to say if he knows the playbook better, or if he's just as good at checking plays, or if he's just as good at, you know, being a leader out on the field. That's all yet to be seen. Your thoughts, Kevin?
I mean, I generally agree with most everything you said. I imagine he will probably be the guy again this weekend coming up.
That's the question that we're working our way to.
Yeah, so he's going to have a chance here to – I mean, just given what I saw from Petras on Saturday, I just don't see him being able to throw the ball like he usually can with some gas on it from what I saw Saturday, which means I'm expecting to see Padilla out first drive of the game.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a chance here in these next couple games and in bull prep. I think it could very well be an open competition next year again for quarterback.
Are we looking at CJ Beathard's story?
Well, that is what the fans want. By a
have people been comparing it to a CJ Beathard story?
Yes. That is what people want by a wide, wide margin. Again, with just seeing Padilla play the other day, they are jumping to the conclusion that he could be. And let's be honest, there's a great question I got too from somebody that says, I understand this is Padilla's first meaningful snaps, but given KF's track record with starting McCann over Brad Banks, Christensen over over Ricky Stanzi, Rudock over Beathard, and now Petras over Padilla. He's throwing Padilla in with Banks, Stanzi, and Beathard. So we need to slow down a little bit. And he does say, I understand this is Padilla's first meaningful snaps. What do you think needs to change in how KF evaluates quarterbacks? We're jumping really, really far ahead. But clearly there's a reason Spencer was the starting guy, right? KF and the boys over in Iowa City, they don't just sit there at the Hanson Performance Center and say, you know what? Yeah, Alex is better. But I think we'll start Spencer this year, you know?
So yeah, I have a question for you guys. Who do you truly think decides? I know KF always has the final say. So at the end of the day, he has the trump card.
Yeah, there's your
But I believe that the decision making of who the quarterback is going to be is a very collaborative decision.
Of course,
I would say so.
Yeah, and I just Keefe doesn't have a say in that,
right? And Brian Ferentz and like it's or you know all the former coordinators. So it would be questioning everybody who has been making a decision along the way. If you know what I'm saying, wouldn't have just been KF's decision alone. Right. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't call the plays. He's the head coach. He has the final say. He brings together the minds that run the intricate parts, and he oversees the operation like it's his operation, and he put together the parts.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to make every decision just by himself. Right. That's kind
of
what
he gives his coaches a decent amount of autonomy. I know Coach Parker has, you know, like he's going to put in
unlimited
who he wants to put in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think Parker is essentially on KF's level when it comes to defensive autonomy. And then it is an interesting question, Drake. I get what you're getting at, because even when you're on the inside, And you know you're in those meetings.
Dude, listen, man. In that 2017 season, we had no idea who was going to be the quarterback up until the week before the game. Like, legitimately, we had no idea. And I still don't know who made the decision. Like, and what was the decision-making process? And, like, you know what I'm saying? We know nothing. And we were right there on the team.
That was a tough camp competition, too. I remember – Nate and Uyghurs were going ones every other series for the entire camp almost.
And it was very, very similar.
It was very close too. It was like, I think they just went with the guy they saw probably had a little bit more upside.
Yeah.
And I think
agree.
And they probably made the right decision. Love Tyler Uyghurs to death. Awesome guy.
Yeah. And Nate also had an extra year. And so there was just a few things that were slightly leaning his way.
And he had a rocket launcher, dude. He was like, dude, it's like, do you not start Randy Johnson? Really? Game 7 of the World Series, do you not start the unit? And you're that right. Motherfucker had a rocket launcher on his arm.
He did. He did. It's an interesting question because it's something that fans ask too. And I think when you come to this podcast, you want the walk-ons insight. There were meetings that the walk-ons and the scholarship athletes were not in on. And those were the staff meetings. And we are just as curious as you guys are about some of the decisions and conversations that happened in those staff meetings.
And I've even told like managers GAs that I would like do anything to be a fly on the wall, like get me a bug in one of the coaches' meetings. Like I was trying to get bugs in the meetings to hear those conversations, dude.
Drake was trying.
I don't think they ever really talked about you, so.
No. I didn't care about myself. I wanted to just hear. I just wanted to know the information. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's like I want to be in the Oval Office for a fly on the wall meeting, not because they're talking about me, because I want to know what's being talked about in the Oval Office.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Can you just imagine Joe Biden having conversations about?
About yeah, you know.
They're calling me Brandon now. Oh, that's enough. That's enough. We get Drake going on politics. We know how that'll end. And yeah,
politics. What about there's just like they just let 12 people on the field and just like didn't get them off.
Oh yeah,
for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm just like, what?
Did you see it,
Drake? Why is this timeout taking so long? Why am I still looking at KF right now? Yep. And they're like, oh, we're on a little bit of a delay. I'm like, why? And then they're like.
Kevin's disgust with the flow of the broadcast.
I'm like, I'm not really having much fun watching this football game right now. I kind of want it to move along.
So Drake, there were students, Northwestern students, I believe, who
a bunch of dorks.
Yeah, wrote on bed sheets, and I only know what one of them said, and it was
abolish NUPD.
Abolish the Northwestern University Police Department.
There was one that said something about.
I mean, I can kind of get along with that. The Iowa City Police Department, they can kind of kick rocks.
At least abolish the ticketing office. You know, the parking police.
We can get behind that. We can get behind University Heights.
And University Heights, I'll never forget when Josie drove his no muffler moped through University Heights at 4:45 a.m. Just woke up the entire neighborhood. No, but so Drake, they walked out on the field and no one stopped them. There was no security. I mean, they just walked their ass out onto the middle of the field and stood there for.
Yeah, of course, there's no security, dude. It's a bunch of nerds and dorks. Like, I'm surprised 12 people in that student section had the nuts to walk out on the field.
The funniest thing was there's like they're holding up the sheets away from the TV camera.
It was the wrong direction.
It was the wrong direction.
So,
and then, I didn't see this. I didn't know this until some people told me on Twitter that there was an Iowa fan who ran out there trying to like get him off the field. Like,
yeah, he
to
knocked
steal,
down
like,
a couple of the bed sheets. So savage.
Hey. He's like, dude, I just want to watch some football. Get off the field.
Listen, he's part of the army. I don't care if he listens to the podcast.
Somebody find him and let him know.
We need to get in touch with him immediately because he is part of our army. We're not big Northwestern fans around here. And also, like, get off the field. It's time to play some football. Yep. It works.
We'll take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to close up the Padilla conversation, and I'm going to ask these boys who they start on Saturday. And we're going to talk about Kevin Ward's healthy morning shake. Recipe. And we're back. Kevin?
Yo.
How do you start your morning off? First of all, the other day it was with a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
What happened to the quarterback conversation?
Because this is going to be quick, and then we're going to go back to the good stuff. So let the head coach make the final decision. Okay? I'm Kirk Ferentz.
That's crazy. I will beat the shit out of you. I will legitimately.
Yeah.
I will listen.
You're,
Kirk,
hey,
you
you're
know
Brian.
I'm hey, hey, stop hey. Talking right now. Stop talking right now because Brian is on the mic right now, uh-huh. and I will choke you the fuck out. I have the means uh-huh. and I have the time
yep.
to fly to Iowa.
Okay.
I know your address. I will walk True. Into your house, okay. choke you unconscious,
sure.
piss on you, and then remind you that you cannot speak to me that way. Okay? Okay? Now right. you can have the mic.
Oh, shit. All right. And I know that you report to BARDA. Okay. But you're fired because I make the final call here. All right. And we're wearing the high socks over the knees, and that's just the way it is. Yeah. So
KF loves the socks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Barter, Barter's getting trashed at Cincinnati.
Well, when you have
dude, Barter's on game day with his teeth just getting buried.
Well, dude, when you put an undefeated Cincinnati team at 6, I mean, Gary, what are we doing? You know. Not a good job to have, right? Sure, he gets compensated well, right? Good thing for the resume. Not that he needs it. He's retirement age anyway. But, you know, no one on that committee is going to be Santa Claus, right? No one's looking at them like, oh,
no, that's a no-love job you get there.
It's like you're basically the politicians of the NCAA.
At least politicians, half the people like you.
Right. Yeah. If you get 48% approval.
Yeah. I mean, if there was like a approval rating for the college football committee right now, I'd probably be sub 30.
Yeah. But anyway, Drake, I'm KF and you're BF. And in that situation, Brian could beat the shit out of his dad. You are
Phil.
You're Phil Parker.
You're 100% Phil.
Fucking
but
shit.
Dude, you're his son. You're Beef's son and you're Phil's nephew. My apologies, Beef.
And so they're brothers. Kevin,
does that not make sense? Phil and Beef could for sure be brothers.
Sure.
They don't look alike or nothing, but they could, you know.
Yeah, mindset. They
traded some paint back in the day.
Yeah. They'd get along quite well in a tavern somewhere.
Sure. They'd be on each other's side. Kevin, to grow a beautiful mustache and to keep that blonde hair and that 20 years in a row best bod award, how do you wake up in the morning and what goes into a healthy Kevin Ward nutrition shake?
Yeah. So, I like to get my morning workouts in, and you never want to train on an empty stomach. So I roll out of bed, grab my Ninja blender, which I got from the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
People made fun of me for that because that was like a top tier gift. You could get that. You could get reclining chair.
You use the shit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still got my Ninja blender. I don't know anyone else who's still got the reclining chair out there.
True.
So I'm still putting that thing to use 5 to 6 times a week. So I grab a cup, throw some spinach, some carrots, a little baby tomato, some strawberries, blueberries, some protein powder, some flaxseed, some mushroom powder, a little milk, blend it all up, pound it down. I'm ready to lift some weights.
Now, yeah. The mushroom powder, what's the benefit there? Tell the people, tell me.
It's got a lot of good stuff for your immune system. It's got a lot of good stuff for...
It's not Drake's kind of mushrooms.
No. We're not tripping balls while we're going to the...
Listen, man, microdosing just makes your day a little bit brighter. I unfortunately do not have the access to a bunch of mushrooms. If I did, I would put them in a food processor, grind them up, put them in capsules, and I would take a little cup of capsules every day and microdose some mushrooms and be a lot happier. But
what's the tomato for?
Why not?
Okay. Just vegetable.
Yeah.
All right.
Got some vitamins in there.
You think Padilla or Petrus has a shake like that in the morning to get their day started? Or you think they hit one of those core 42s?
I couldn't tell you about Padilla. I've seen pics of Spencer with his shirt off, and I'm going to say no to him.
Ooh.
Got a little dad.
That's a low blow to Spencer, man. Spence did not deserve that low blow when he's already hurt and potentially losing his job.
I will say this. Uyghurs, though he didn't win the position battle, was the most bodied QB we had. Him and Ryan Boyle, although Ryan switched to wide receiver. They were the most body QBs we've had over the last decade. Because otherwise, we've had
Weirs
some...
was big on the nutrition, man.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah.
He's a beefy, sort of cut-up guy.
Yeah. He was on the poster 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. He had the little bicep vein in there. Kevin Ward, Drake Kulik, you're the starting... You are now KF. We've switched roles. I'm no longer KF. You're KF. You're BF. You're whoever makes the decision. You're the collective group on Saturday. With what just happened, Padilla played good. Showed some stuff that maybe Petrus will never be able to show.
First of all, you got to tell me the status of Petrus. Okay. Is he 80% or is he 100%?
Petrus is 100% by Saturday.
Yeah, anything sub 100 is Padilla for me.
Yes, he's 100. Correct.
Here's the scenario. He's 100%.
Then who played better Wednesday when the reps mattered?
In practice.
Because you got to make your decision off Wednesday. I guess who throws it better Fast Friday? But it's Fast Friday, dude.
You're not making a decision on Friday, dude.
If you don't look like an All-American on Friday, then you suck.
No, this decision, assuming Spencer is healthy throughout the whole week, which – it's theoretically impossible.
We're in agreement that if Spencer is at all, if Spencer is 95%, he's not the guy. If he's
because we've already had almost no success on our own, receive the ball, run the ball out to the 20-yard line and have an 80-yard drive ahead of us. We don't have that much success this year when Spencer was healthy. Okay. So 95%, that's less than what's already been produced. And I've already said it's not really Spencer's fault. So you might as well throw 100% healthy quarterback out behind a line that hasn't been protecting him that well, rather than a quarterback who's already got a shoulder that might be compromised. Like, why make him take more hits that he's probably going to take?
Yeah.
In theory, if you have a 100% Spencer who is able to take all the reps on Tuesday and Wednesday practices, that's key. If he's not taking reps throughout practice this week, but he's good to go by Friday, I'm still going with Padilla. But if he's good for the Tuesday, Wednesday, bulk, the biggest work days of the week for us, I'm going to go with Spencer. I think the experience matters. Like I said, if he is a clean pocket, I think he's a good quarterback.
I agree. And I think
we'll have a better pocket this week against Minnesota than we had against Purdue, than we had against Wisconsin. He can make all the throws when he's healthy. He's got time. Has he been healthy last week? No. Has he had time the previous 2 weeks? No. So anything sub 100%, I'm going Padilla.
Okay. I like that answer. And I think if you ask the fan base, they're probably 90-10 with Padilla.
It's the thing you always talk about. It's the loudmouths who make the most noise.
Yeah.
And I would agree probably the majority. I wouldn't say it's 90-10 by any means.
I went off a poll on.
But the casual fans like, oh, my God, the offense sucks. Put in Padilla. Yeah, those people are.
It would have been. See, because I'm under the strong opinion that if Petrus is 100% on yesterday against Northwestern, that he ends up with a very similar stat line or better than Padilla had, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
18 of 28 for 172, no touchdowns, right? That's not something that Petrus hasn't done, right? 170.
No, he's had much better days against that versus better defenses, too.
Right. So it's going to be interesting.
Like I said, I don't think we got much out of Padilla yesterday that we didn't have before. He's a little bit more mobile, can escape some pressure more so than Petrus, but through the air wise, I don't think he gives us the edge that people think he does.
You said last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that the leash is there's now a leash on Spencer,
mm-hmm.
assuming he gets the nod. And I think if he gets the nod, there will be boos in Kinnick, which is really unfortunate. First of all, if you are a fan listening to this podcast,
let's not boo the team the opening drive. I think that'd be a bad thing to do for the fan base.
Here's the deal. If you are an Iowa fan and you go to the game on Saturday and you boo, if you participate in a boo against Spencer Petras, then you can stop listening to this podcast. You can walk away. We don't want you here because that is not how you support a team, right? If he is,
I'm going to say this right now. You can boo bad performance. Don't boo someone just going out to play their
for getting, yeah, for being chosen by somebody else to play a position, right? Assuming that he is the guy, does the leash now get shorter now that Padilla has proven that he isn't a sack of shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's if you have like one of those retractable leashes for your dog, you like move it up 6 inches. I don't know.
Yikes. Snatching his neck off his freaking shoulders.
I mean, dude, if we can't move the ball and Spencer's not connecting and all of a sudden we're down 10-3 against Minnesota.
Listen, man, if he has a 6-inch leash, just don't start him. That's so mean.
No. I didn't say a 6-inch leash. I said the leash got 6 inches shorter.
Yeah, just a little bit shorter. In my opinion, to answer my own question posed to you two, I think I go with Padilla, and a lot of people out there are probably sitting there smirking or something because I was such a Petras guy, which is not true. It was just more so that I was trying to get across that Petras was never the sole issue, be it as it may.
And I think the root problem is still there.
The root problem is, you could start KF out there at quarterback and we still have questions at line for the rest of the year, probably. So I think Padilla did enough, and I'm intrigued enough by his out-of-the-pocket ability that I put him out there, just because I don't think starting Spencer, you know, his positives on the pro-cons chart just aren't enough to be like, oh, we're going to miss out on something, right? So for me, I'm just kind of going back to when they chose Nate, because maybe one of the factors was, hey, who has the bigger upside? Maybe Padilla has this upside to him that's play extending, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd agree with that. But I think that upside comes into play next year more so than...
I agree.
More so than these last three games coming up here.
Yeah. Last question. Assuming Padilla gets a start, and he does have that... You know, he does have the ability to extend plays a little bit more, and we are getting a little bit more time. Does that change the playbook? And I don't know, Drake, if you have an opinion on that. Does that change the way Brian calls plays if he sees that Padilla is kind of making some throws and taking chances that Spencer doesn't? He's playing in some way that just is different than Spencer. Does that open up play calls anymore, or does it not?
How does he play different than Spencer? How does he create time? You know what I'm saying? You got to tell me how he's going to be able. Is he just scrambling around like Johnny Manziel? Like, is that who this kid is? Like, is he Lamar Jackson?
I was saying more
plays for the guy that just runs around willy nilly and just tosses it up there. I mean,
like the guy's got to either create his own time. If he's got a click button that he wasn't telling us about, that's super selfish of him. If he can just pause time and get himself to a more advantageous position,
dude, that's a reference. Tell anybody. Right there.
Then that guy can suck it, right?
Click, but dude. Click.
If he does not have the ability to just create his own time for the guys to get down the field, get open, and take those chances, then I just don't understand how, you know what I'm saying? That, like Kevin said, the root of the issue is still alive.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you're like saying maybe Brian can call some longer developing routes or something like that, here's the thing. It's still damn near impossible to throw those routes when you're under pressure.
Yes. I was saying,
like, you can get away from a sack, but that doesn't mean you can still complete those routes.
Yes.
Yeah. When a guy's scrambling away from a sack and getting to the sideline, like, you, even in the NFL, you see Lamar, Mahomes, anybody, they get out of the pocket. Like, it might be 50% of the time that they even target somebody. And then who knows what percentage of the time that gets completed. You might be looking at like a 25% completion rate when they're scrambling out of the pocket. Like, if this guy is still trying to get flushed by defensive ends, trying to even get himself in a spot in the field that he can throw it,
on these deep plays that we're wanting to throw. I just don't know the success rate.
Yeah. I think
Brian did a good job of getting some more of the skill guys involved, like Auden Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
This is my one thing on the offense so far this year, is we have shown throughout the year, we're just really not good between the tackles right now. We broke some off. We had a couple good runs. That's more of a Northwestern being bad thing, and people not being in gaps and us being good and moving people off the ball, except for Tyler Linderbaum. I think we have to be playing out in space, because we got some guys that can make stuff happen out in space.
Yeah, it's a multivariable problem, like it has been the whole season. I think what I was getting at there is maybe, and in example of that would be the one Keegan Johnson play, which I know you can't just run these plays every time and make your decision of quarterback on it. Maybe he fits the ball. He's more willing to fit a ball in a window or throw up a 50-50 ball and let a receiver go make a play than Spencer is. And maybe that's worth something. You know, maybe he's just a tad better at giving our skill guys a chance to get it in their hands. Not necessarily longer developing routes, creating more time, but in those short routes, getting it to them so that they can make a play. I don't know. Kevin, one last question.
We got one game to look at.
No, I understand.
It's not enough body of work to make that determination from our perspective.
Last question. The defense gave up 12 points on the scoreboard. That's fantastic. There was some questionable tackling yesterday.
Yeah. Guys didn't tackle very well. There was some really just kind of looked like a lackluster a little bit.
We blame this on Ryan Field.
Well, I will say this, that field sucks.
Yeah.
The grass there, the turf there isn't great.
The smell in the locker room might actually infect you on the inside. You know what I'm saying?
They like, painted the walls.
As soon as you go in there and spend that hour that you wait in there, and every time you come back in, they just have repumped in that dog shit smell, and it just infects you and just slows you down.
Yeah, no, it could be that. But I don't know.
I mean, the defense, yeah, they get a B from me.
Okay.
Gave up 9 points realistically. Again, the blocked punt. I'll give him a really good job for going back in, putting out the fire after a blocked punt, which, you know, we're giving up blocked punts, which it just points to just a sloppy game out of the Hawkeyes,
yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting, Kluve. Did you see this? It was a two-man shield.
Yep.
And it was a rugby punt.
Yep.
And the one guy in the shield is blocking backside, which I thought was I don't know.
I don't believe you do that. And Drake, maybe you could chime in on that too, because you were part of that show. But
I think we used to do it. I do believe that that was something that was in there, because one of the guys extended the front side that you were going to rugby to, so that the edge was longer anyways.
But also, we always did that out of a three-man shield.
But I think we had it in to do it out of two.
I don't even know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I could for sure be wrong.
I rewinded that play several times trying to find someone to blame.
It was somebody in the core.
So here's the thing. They blocked the three nearest guys there. There was four guys. And then there's another guy coming from the outside. So the guy in the shield blocks the guy coming from the outside. And you got one guy kind of coming through past, like on the backside end, on the backside of the end. So you got the snapper, guard, tackle, end. So the snapper in our scheme blocks no one. Snaps the ball, runs down the field.
Although
those next three guys took the nearest three guys, and there was another guy that came off the end's ass with another guy coming outside.
Hmm.
There was an unblocked guy.
Oof.
Which is why I was
like, giving one to the snapper, you know?
When have we ever done a two-man shield?
I don't know. I think in this situation, this was something we went over very briefly. And I think in that situation, if you're assuming that those guys are all coming, I think you have to go to the outside three guys and leave the guy who would be lined up over the guard for the snapper to chip.
Yeah. So here's another, you bring up a good point, is they didn't block it like it was going to be a rugby punt either.
Yeah.
They did like their zone steps, put the guy on your backside.
That was the fuck up then.
Maybe it wasn't even supposed to be a rugby. I don't even know.
Somebody came.
We got Torrey Taylor running a rugby. He's kind of half style rugby, trotting out to the.
And I was going to say, it wasn't a full rugby. It was a decently quick rugby.
But right. Was the Sam sprinting?
No. He was just kind of like meandering out.
Oh, wait, what position did I play?
Sam. I don't know.
I think Sam.
Was I? If he was rolling.
The play side shield guy is kind of like meandering out there, kind of like the same pace that the punter was.
They both blocked somebody, though.
It was for sure a play call, man.
Dude, I think we might have been.
Was it the very, very far guy that was unblocked?
To the punt side.
To the punt side.
Yes.
I just think it's quick, man. How quick did the punter get off his foot?
I mean, it was fairly quick. It wasn't a hold
on
to it.
It's quick, man.
But it wasn't, like a normal punt, get the ball, kick it. It was 1-2 steps, probably.
This guy came scot-free, dude.
Yeah.
No one even touched him. Okay, and this is funny because now
– I wasn't paying attention. But
now if everybody has stayed to this part in the podcast, we're, 69 nice minutes deep.
Woo-hoo!
You're listening to three guys
who
took a lot of pride on punt and who don't feel great about getting punts blocked, and we're all trying to figure it out.
Wait, the punt got blocked?
What
have we been talking about?
Dude, it got stuffed in Torrey Taylor's Australian asshole. Yeah.
Oh, see, listen, man.
What did you think we were talking about? I'm genuinely curious.
I thought you were talking about a punt that should have got blown up. Like one of those plays where you're like, oh shit, that's gonna get blown up. He gets the ball off.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game, and I was not hearing this conversation. This was a catastrophic play in the game.
No, it was.
This is like when you're on the punt team and the ball gets snapped 1 second, 2 second, and you hear the crowd go, ooh, and you're like, what the fuck just happened? You turn around and the punter is running after some guy with the ball kind of sputtering.
What are the chances it was the inside slot guy that was supposed to come down and crack the end man so that
– I don't know if there was one there. He was out.
There was an inside slot guy because we only had a two-man shield, so we didn't actually gunner.
We might have needed to pull him back in then and everybody block back. And then the center, then long snapper goes scot-free and basically becomes that slot guy on the gun as a gunner.
Somebody, I just think this is what I'm going to say is we're not going to rerun the two-man shield ever again.
No, no, no.
RIP.
I don't think the returner was that dangerous of a guy where we need another guy running down the field.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
We've had actually really good gunner play this year so far, so I'm not really.
You just listened to three assholes who played punt try to figure out a punt at the end of a podcast. So thanks for being here, right? That's the Northwestern recap.
I got one more.
Love you guys.
Yes. Kevin's got some people to shout out, I think.
Yeah. So beautiful mustache. Bunch of y'all. Decided to donate. That was awesome of you. We raised $550. Still open. Go check the Twitter page. Check out my beautiful stash. Give a little something for men's health. But we got Chelsea Campbell, David Poe, Nick, I don't know how to say your last name, Bolt, B-U-E-L-T.
Yeah.
Tracy Lane, Louis Wickett, Chris Fisher, Kim Winslow, Brian Ulrich, Justin Northrup, Ryan Great, Lane Vandermolen, someone who is anonymous, and my very own girlfriend, Alyssa Jalamas. Thank you for donating. That was awesome of you. Low-key, the girlfriend likes the stash.
I want to let you guys know that for the betterment of the podcast, I didn't make a terrible joke right before he started listing everybody's names.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. That's 260.
I was going to donate you something right below that stash.
Okay. All right, let's just
we're gonna go ahead and reject that donation.
This podcast is over. Horrible. Thanks for listening. 265. the fucking pig. Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there. Oh, I accidentally hit the Kevin Ward as well with the cha-ching. The pig is on the line. And we want bacon. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace.